You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Podcast.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one
two,
of all time.
One, go.
Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the JRE Review. We got some good episodes today. Dr. Peter Hotez, Eric Weinstein, Greg Fitzsimmons. And if we have the time and the energy, we'll do one from last week. We'll do Brian Redband. Today, I'm joined by a new friend of mine, somebody that reached out on the pod. And this is George. George, say hi.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much, Mr. Adam Thorne, for having me on a podcast.
And where is it you're from, George? Fill everyone in on that.
I'm from Romania, originally.
Romania. All right.
Yes.
How's the coronavirus out there?
In Romania? Oh, man, I was just talking to my family and my friends. And my father said, I said, what's up, man? What are you doing? I'm counting the dead. He's old. You know, he's like 70-something years old. My mother the same. They're just at the countryside, retired. Watching TV. My brothers are in Bucharest, is the capital city.
Right.
We have an apartment there, so I hope they're okay. I told them, quit smoking, bro. I quit smoking already. I was smoking since I was 13 years old. Then I quit smoking when I was about 24.
Well, it's a good time.
Yeah, I started smoking again 10 years later. And now I quit again.
Excellent work. Well, yeah. Keep doing it, because that shit's not good for you, and this is not a good time.
And I told them, quit smoking, because this corona is going to get you. So, yeah, man, I'm worried. Fun, but yeah, this corona, it's a downer.
It's a scary time. It's a scary time for sure.
Yeah.
That's why I'm drinking right now a nice bottle of red Smoking Loon Merlot. That's helping me through these dark times and through this podcast. All right, let's kick it off with...
I'm drinking some tea.
Very nice.
Actually, I'm almost done. And I was actually smoking a little bit of weed just to bless this show.
You know, great
Joe
idea.
Rogan style. Yeah.
Great idea.
So
love that.
I hope
that.
You don't mind.
Well, hey, I'm happy to have you here,
Plus,
George. Any fan of Rogan is more than likely a friend of mine, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Also, to take a little bit of the edge, because I'm so excited. I think you can feel it in my voice. This is, you know, because I was like, yeah, I'm going to do a podcast with Adam. It's going to be fantastic. And then I was thinking, wow, shit, I'm going on a podcast. And I turned the camera on and I see my stupid face in here. And what's going on?
Don't worry about any of that, man. Yeah. Don't worry about any of that. You know.
Dude, you're a professional.
It's going
to
be fine.
I love listening to you. I think you are a natural born broadcaster.
Cool.
So,
well, cheers.
Look, man, it's an honor to be on a show.
If I'm anything, I'm just a fan of Rogan, and I like going over the episodes and talking about shit I didn't understand, which at least this week was quite a lot of stuff. Let's get started with episode 1451, Dr. Peter Hotez. Dr. Peter is a very important guy to be coming on Rogan right now. I mean, he had so much information about the coronavirus and how it works, and talking about the misinformation and what we need to do to prepare and what we can do. And I mean, I don't know. Did you, as a whole, did you feel any better about the whole situation after listening to it, or were you more afraid?
George. I'm more afraid.
You're more afraid. Okay, yeah, I think so.
I had to think for a bit.
Yeah, he...
Because...
Go on. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he... He's just preparing. I think people just, he was worried people aren't taking it seriously enough. Like a lot of people are worried about that, and they're pushing more quarantine and being safer. And really, the overall message seemed to be: look, all we can really do now is self quarantine and just take that shit as seriously as we can. Which that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, what else can we do? Just wait around, right? Just wait.
Yeah. And the fact that even now, I just mentioned, because I'm smoking some weed, but it's legal here in California, just to mention for everyone.
You're all good, George. You're all good. We're not going to arrest you. Don't worry.
It's not about that. I don't care about that. They were talking on a show, on a Red Band show, because I made some notes here. Smoking weed or vaping, this is not good either with this corona.
Yeah, well, it's a respiratory illness. I mean, generally, smoking is not going to be good for any illness because it definitely lowers your immune system. But one that affects your lungs, I mean, that's almost a no-brainer. I mean, you're going to want to have as healthy lungs as you can through this whole thing, which probably means, you know, don't smoke cigarettes, at least. I don't know if smoking marijuana is going to be too big of an issue. Maybe if you have asthma, it might be bad.
Right.
I don't know.
I have a quote from him here. He said, keeping yourself healthy could make the difference between life and death. Don't smoke, vape, stay fit, limit alcohol intake.
Mm. Yeah, limiting alcohol intake. That's an interesting one because we're all stressed. It's almost like you want to drink more. That's the big thing.
I don't drink alcohol. So.
Oh, you don't at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, good for you. That's healthy. Good work, George. Good work. Let's talk a little bit about some of the cases and how it's exploding. He got into, you know, so this thing is called basically SARS-2. So SARS was around. It came out of somewhere in Asia. I thought it was like Japan, but maybe not. Maybe that was China. It's got to be China. And now
China.
SARS-2 is COVID-19. So it's a new one. It's a bad one. It's been hitting us up since, what, November? Well, at least China. And now it's spread over here. In the last 2 weeks, it's absolutely blown up in America. We have, as of today, like more cases. I think there's more cases in New York State than every other country in the world, which is insane and terrifying.
Yeah. Well, they say, they were talking on Joe Rogan's show, because that's where we get the information from, that they well, actually the numbers from China are fake. Might be fake.
They might be fake. It seems a little suspicious that they went from having the most cases and the most deaths to almost none. Unless they found a cure that they're not telling us about, it is a little peculiar, I would say. We'll find all that shit out in the future. You know, we'll find out what they're up to. Sneaky Chinese. We're going to find out. But, it's the government. It's not the people. I mean, it's definitely the government being sneaky. But, yeah, I'm sure it's just as bad. Just as bad. This one's a difficult one, though, to even equate because it's super transmissible, but there's such a long incubation period, 14 to 21 days, that it's so hard to keep up on how many there are at any given time, how many people are sick. And then they talk about people that are asymptomatic, that are not even getting or showing any symptoms, but they can still be passing it to other people. I mean, it almost feels like this is never going to go away.
Yeah, it feels like it. They were saying that even if it's going to go away now, it's going to come back next year.
Yeah, in the fall, they're thinking. So we might get a bit of a break in the summer, and then it'll come again in the fall. This is why I don't think that they're going to open the bars and the restaurants again. And Peter Hotez was kind of alluding to that as well. He's like, it doesn't seem like that's going to be possible. I mean, how can you? Like, when could it even go back to normal life? And will there even be normal life ever again? As we knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Trump wants to open the country pretty soon. that's one reason that I was a little bit behind with the Joe Rogan episodes. I was watching the Trump Corona White House live broadcast. Yeah, every day.
It sounds stressful. I don't advise that.
Yeah, and I was watching it more for the funny parts when Trump has altercations with...
what do you say to Americans who are watching you right now?
That's good stuff.
It's just funny to me. Yeah,
I say that you're a terrible
reporter.
That's
really good stuff.
That's what I say.
It's good stuff. So, George, how has this changed for you? Like, what has changed in your life? You know, I know you're still working, so you're not one of the people that doesn't have to work, so you're at least getting out of your house. But what are the big changes been? What's been difficult for you with all this?
Do you want the long story or the short story?
Whatever you want. If it's a good one, it could be as long as you want.
Well, let's make it medium.
Okay, medium story. There we go, George.
I'm basically a filmmaker. I have been gone to Romania for the past 7 months. I came to America 3 months ago, and I have a family here, a daughter and an ex-wife, that's why I have to be in this country too. So I'm switching between Europe and America. And my movies is not, I'm not a millionaire. I have a regular job, like a regular guy, and I'm keep making these movies. So I'm working as a security guard, which I was essential, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think they're calling ones essential, yeah. Got to keep places safe.
They gave me a piece of paper. Exactly. They gave me a piece of paper, and I just show a piece of paper to the cops in case, hey, where are you going? This is essential.
Got it.
So I didn't get affected as far as work. I am going to work with an electric bicycle. I was listening to one of your episodes for your listeners, so I know that you went to court. I know the story.
Oh, for my bird ticket? Yeah, that was a bitch.
You took a ticket for the electric bicycle. So I'm just taking one of these because I am 1 mile from work. So I'm basically going to work to an empty Amazon Studios building, and then I'm coming back home. And that's pretty much what it is.
All right. So you have, I guess it's more normal for you than for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But still, it's a change. You know, you can't go out, you know, too much. I mean, I guess you can go for a walk and some little things, but, you know, it's like the beaches are closed, the roads are dead. I drove up to Hollywood yesterday from Santa Monica. Nobody on the road. So eerie. It was very, very strange. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, this is great, there's no traffic. I had like a weird feeling in my gut, like this doesn't feel good. And then I got to... Mm-hmm. It's got to be Hollywood Boulevard where the stars are. It's got to be, unless I'm being stupid. But anyway, it was a Saturday night. That place is usually jam-packed. Nobody was out, and there was a guy in one of those movie costume hazmat suits, like full-body orange ones, riding on an electric skateboard. I mean, if that isn't a scene from the end of the world, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was funny for a second, and then I was like, oh, shit, this is awful. This is awful. Yeah. So what's the silver lining here? So Dr. Peter said that the quarantining is going pretty good in some places. It looks like we reacted, the U.S. at least, a little bit slow. But, shit, this stuff is not easy. So, of course, there's going to be mistakes made. And it looks like there's some medicines. They were talking about chloroquine, I think was one, and the Z-Pak stuff, but they don't know 100% if that's going to help. But I guess one of them's like malaria drugs, so they at least know that it works for that and it won't kill you. So hopefully they can get some of that shit out. But at the end of the day, it's just going to have to be social distancing. I mean, it's really what it came down to. That one is, the Dr. Peter one is definitely the most important podcast of the week, to be clear, just for the information that was in there. Not necessarily the funniest and the most lighthearted, but it's full of important information, and it's great that he had a platform where he could come out and talk for that amount of time, basically uninterrupted, so we could get this information out there, so Rogan could do that. I mean, thank goodness.
Extremely informative. But what did you think about his personality?
Well, he's a bit of a nerd. I mean, he was like going on about his bow tie and this and that. But I mean, of course he is. You want him to be a nerd. He better be a nerd. I hope he's the best nerd in the world. He seemed like a nice guy. He was worried about people being out of work and not having money and how bad that's going to be for them. And that's a very compassionate thing to think about. And it just seems like he's a very compassionate person. I liked him.
Sweet guy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He was a great guy. And I hope that we hear more from him soon and maybe after this event so he can come back on and let us know about new technologies and things that have changed and maybe where the vaccines are. And hopefully hopefully we start getting some good news out of this. You know, getting some good news. I don't know.
Yeah, a bit too compassionate because he was going from compassion to hysteria. Like he said, oh, I even had an argument with my coworkers and I yelled at them. And then he used a couple of curse words on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's pissed off, I think, with the way some of this stuff is not working out. Like he was very upset about the fact that the hospitals weren't able to have enough masks for the nurses and enough protection for the doctors, and it makes sense. I mean, I can't believe we don't have that stuff. I really don't. I mean, yeah. I don't know how all that works, but just the fact that America cannot have all the best shit ready whenever it needs it is a little alarming, especially under these circumstances. You know,
It was very informative. I was just making fun a little bit of his personality. You know, like what's with the bow tie? I mean, you didn't think before the show, like before we begin this show, I was thinking, shit, what am I? If I put on video, my face is already messed up. But what am I gonna be dressed with? Right?
I didn't think like about that at all. Bro. Don't worry about it. I don't think anyone's gonna care. I'm wearing a Nike T-shirt. It's all good.
You think he didn't worry about a little bit, dude? I'm going on a Joe Rogan show. It's the most popular show right now in the world, I think. I'm going with the bow tie. I mean, I'm still playing this game. Should I just take the bow tie off and say, look, bro, this is about coronavirus. This is serious. I just took my bow tie off.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
He just chose to play the character.
It's his signature move, I think. I think that's what he's down for. But again, you know, if you haven't listened to this one, guys, tune into that one because I can't think of a better resource right now for getting the most information on, you know, what we know currently about Corona for sure. Now, moving on, we got a pretty heavy one, as always. Eric Weinstein, podcast 1453. Eric has become a really good friend of Joe. He's been on a bunch of times now. I think Eric's been on three or four times. Could be more. He's a mathematician and very smart. It's a heavy podcast. Joe even talks about it at the beginning. He's like, listen, the last 30 minutes are fucking get ready. And it is like that. The last 45 minutes, I would say I understood like 2% of it, to be honest. It's very thick with physics and theories and all sorts of stuff, but
when he was talking about the gauge theory and showing you that weird graphics on a, yeah, dude.
Did you get any of that, George? You understand any of it at all?
Dude, I understand as much as, you know when Joe Rogan talks, sometimes he said, hey, you know these guys, they believe that they are actually in this infinite universe. They are an infinite of Joe Rogan on an infinite of this exact show that we're doing the same exact thing, but some of it in the infinity makes something different. And there is an infinite of, you know what I'm talking about, that theory?
Yeah. So multiverse, like, infinite universe theory.
I had that in my mind at 15 years old. I actually wrote an article. I can tell you the story later because this is boring. But I have it on paper.
Right.
And published. And it was just started with God. And so, okay, there's no God. Okay, fine. And then what it is if that's not. You know, when you go further with your mind. And then I reach to the word infinity and philosophize a little bit at my mind of 15 years old. About infinity, and I reached the same conclusion with multiverse. Is basically anything that you can think of exists an infinity of time, even though you're not gonna be able to reach that infinity ever. So in an infinity you can have finite worlds as well. Not everything is infinite, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was the 15 years old thing. And since I just became a filmmaker, and I didn't go much into physics. And what I listened to these guys, and the same, yeah, 10%. Maybe 10% from the Gauge theory.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? It's very strange to think of that. Like, all those possibilities kind of makes you think, what is it pointless that we do anything? I don't know. I guess we don't need to worry about it. Just
definitely
keep going.
Definitely not. Because you are, I mean, you're the king of podcasts. Definitely. Yeah. I recommend you one podcast, The End of the World.
The End of the World? Who does that?
The End of the World from...
I'm Josh Clark. Thank you for joining me.
Damn, dude. Podcast.
Have you ever heard that humanity might go...
Is it the...
From Josh Clark.
Josh Clark?
Yes.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll write that down.
We humans could have a bright future ahead of us that lasts billions of years, but we have to survive the next 200 years first. Join Josh Clark of Stuff You Should Know for a 10-episode deep dive that explores the future of humanity and finds dangers we have never encountered before lurking just ahead.
All right, well, I'll check that out. It sounds interesting. It's hard,
yeah,
sometimes,
so
to listen to lots of different podcasts.
From this, is not pointless what we do, to just finish your thought.
Yeah,
I don't think it's pointless, because even if we are, let's say, in a simulation, because they were talking on a Joe Rogan podcast about the simulation theory, they keep bringing that up, right? Like, what if we are in a game? You're Adam, I'm George. I found your podcast. I call Adam. Hey, I want to be on Adam's podcast. Adam responds. Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for reaching out. Okay, yeah, we can do a podcast. And now we're doing a podcast together. What is this? You know, is this programmed? Is we're programming this? Or what? You know, I mean, there are so many possibilities,
yeah,
in an infinite universe. It's like, it's basically literature. We're just writing science fiction. And that's what Joe does on a show. That's why I think it's so entertaining and I enjoy it so much, for creating this science fiction literature with his friends and stuff.
For sure, for sure. What did you think of the Eric Weinstein episode?
Dude, it hit me hard when he mentioned the MIT and with the BDSM. That the MIT...
Yeah, I thought that was quite funny as well. It makes sense, though, right? Those nerds are going to be perverts, for sure.
Yeah, and the fact that he was so certain, you know? So that makes me believe that Eric, he's somehow involved in a group of BDSM with a couple of other MIT people.
That's a good assertion. I think that there might be something to that. Well, maybe that's just something he read.
That's not my assertion, Adam. That's Joe's assertion when he said, hey, I'm even weirded out that you know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe he was just being a little sarcastic, but there might be something to it. It was funny. It is interesting to think of that, you know, because they were talking about how it's like heavily ruled. Like, there's a lot of rules in there, you know? You got to be safe because, you know, you start smacking people around and whipping them. Shit could get out of control. So you got to have people that follow rules and understand giving rules. And maybe that's perfect for super smart nerds. I don't know. I never got into it. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I'm not. Thanks God, man. One thing I always say this. This is a quote of mine. Thanks God, I have never been raped as a boy, you know, or something to happen to me of this nature that would completely destroy my life sexually. So I'm just a normal, like, into like sexy chicks, and I'm divorced right now. If my ex-wife listened to this, she doesn't. I have a daughter here, and my wife doesn't really let me see my daughter, and she's very jealous, even though we are divorced. And it's kind of weird talking about this, but I hope she's not gonna listen to this podcast. I don't think so.
All right. Well, look, man, you don't have to talk about anything you don't want to.
But I'm just a regular with this, man. I don't I wouldn't participate on a BDSM, only if I go there with a camera, because I'm a filmmaker. Like, if I would take you as a reporter, you're a comedian and a reporter. Now we are entering the world of BDSM with Adam Thorn. Boom. And we go there and film.
Let's go interview some BDSM people. I'm down. Let's set it up. Why not?
If you find them, I am ready with the camera and
perfect.
Mics. And,
we're going to do it. They can't be that hard to find. It's like 10 minutes.
I'm a big fan.
5 minute Google search.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Louis Theroux. Did you ever watch his documentaries?
Yes. He's good. He's been on Rogan.
Yes.
Yeah, he's an interesting dude, for sure. Very smart guy. Very, very odd.
We can shoot that style.
Okay.
So all you have to do is find the contact with the BDSM people and to schedule the...
Perfect. We'll make that an episode. We'll do it. We'll set it up. What did you think of them talking about Tulsi Gabbard being the choice for president right now? Like, they wish both...
That's my second note exactly here.
They were both on agreement to that. What did they think? What do you think of that?
Man, Tulsi, she's a very sexy lady, okay? She's 36 years old. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, she's pretty young.
Yeah,
she's very smart. Nice. She's very smart.
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect American wife, if I may say.
Yeah, but we're talking about her being president.
Her being what?
The president. They were saying during this time crisis,
it's impossible. It's impossible.
It is okay.
With the current election system in America, it's impossible.
But they were just saying hypothetically, like, if you could just pick somebody now, regardless of, they were saying that she seems like the best candidate to cope with this. Eric and Joe.
No.
You don't think so? Who's the best to deal with this? Yeah? Okay.
I would pick Trump. You see, because Trump does what the CIA and the military and the medical doctors are telling him.
Mm.
He only cares about himself and to be respected. He had the other day, you know, the oil companies are going down right now because you know, the market is crashing.
I've heard that. Yeah, sounds awful.
Yeah.
That's happening.
So yeah, the gas is gonna be like $1 a gallon. It's gonna be perfect. So he had the biggest people in the country, dude, at the White House, like the CEO of Exxon and these types. These are like they sustain the American economy, and all of them had to take a coronavirus test. And he was saying, oh, I don't know, they had to take a test, I don't know what's going on, you know. He was pretending, Trump,
right?
But in fact, it was the Secret Service who had to test everyone who was getting close to the president. So I'm just saying this guy, he is following what these sharks are telling him to do, you know what I mean? And they just all they have to do is just flatter him. Oh, Mr. Adam Thorn, you have such a wonderful podcast. I love being here. this is flattering. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just I'm flattering, and then I'm going to get what I want from you, which whatever they want, you know. To he was already telling them, hey, we need in America, you know, we have now the oil is so cheap. We need to fill up our national reserves, you know, because we have a lot of places we can find, right? And he was looking at the Exxon CEO. We can find, right? We have a lot of place to store some oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some big tanks. So, big tanks for sure.
Yeah.
I was a little disturbed so what Eric was saying about us selling out to China. That was a little concerning. Like, China is, like, I guess, you know, CEOs of companies in charge of, you know, the board that has to keep the shareholders happy. They often will go in the opposite to the best interest of the U.S., and then they have to sell whatever portions of stock or do business or whatever with China because that's the best thing for the shareholders. And it sounded like a bit of a conspiracy theory in there, like this thing has come from China, the markets are kind of crashing, and now China's like maybe able to buy things or buy into our economy. Stuff like that's a little bit spooky. I wish I understood more of that. I mean, I definitely don't. But when you hear smart things like that, it freaks me out.
I know very little to nothing about stock investments and how the stock market works. However, when the stock market just crashed now, I had like $1,500 just sitting around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, dude, let me buy some stocks. And I bought AMD, Qualcomm, Intel, mostly Nvidia, mostly technology companies. And in the past 5 days, because I just bought them, I already lost $70 when the market closed Friday.
Okay.
So they're going to keep going down. But if we all escape and you don't see these people with masks on the street in weirdly in Los Angeles, you know what I mean? Then the market is going to go eventually back up.
I see. But, well, I don't know. I don't know enough about that. Maybe don't buy any more of those stocks at the moment. I'm not sure. Yeah, it seems bad. Maybe. The big thing that caught me about Eric's podcast that was a big shocker is he kind of got it, like he's very upset about how the government currently is dealing with the crisis, saying that there's not enough masks, there's misinformation about masks, they're telling medical professionals not to wear masks or their own masks, yet they don't have any others to give them. Prison wardens or whatever, the guys in the prisons can't take their own masks in, so they're in danger. And he's saying that he was like basically suggesting a government revolt, like we revolt against the government because they're doing a bad job. That was kind of shocking to me. I'm like, whoa, hold on. I mean, I know he's a smart guy, but we got enough shit going on right now to where we need to overthrow anyone. I don't know. That seems like chaos. For sure. What did you think of that?
Did you notice his accent on, hey, Joe, we have a podcast, such a you are the leader and I am the follower, but then I can be a leader at some point. And I also have the portal, this podcast of mine, and I have this group of followers that they are so... how do you say this?
Like loyal?
Loyal, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like he was trying to drum up a revolution.
Yeah.
And it's a little spooky. I'm like, Eric, calm down, bro. Take it easy.
Exactly. From a guy, I'm sorry to interrupt you because you got me riled up. From a guy who I was just looking, I said, wow, this is the biggest physicist in the world. Look, the Gauge theory. Oh, my God. Wow, pull Jamie. What did Jamie pull on the screen? Wow, this Joe Rogan experience, so amazing. Eric Weinstein. And then when he made his own podcast, I watched the portal a little bit. I said, what is this, man? What's going on here? Not so many views. okay? I mean, that's not the Joe Rogan. And then he comes back on a show now with the revolution. So yeah, dude, what do you want me to think about him?
Yeah, that was a little much. And then after that, he got into his like very strange theory about what happens when the universe can. What did he say when the universe can finally contemplate itself?
Refresh my memory.
He has a theory, right, about when the universe, like, what happens when we figure out the source code, is what he said, and it basically means what happens when the universe can finally contemplate itself, like when, in a way, we get this like level of enlightenment. Can we transcend this place? And Joe seemed very confused. I definitely was. I was not following that at all. But, you know, I'm way dumber than Eric is, so there was very little chance of me figuring that out. But it was strange.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it makes a sense in a finite world being placed in an infinite world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you can have this ant, and you can create this story for the ant that this ant is going to go in this alternative universe of ants, that they are like gods of ants, or whatever the fuck story you want to make. Like, he's making up this story. But when you look at the bigger picture, it can be an infinite of Eric Weinstein's and his theory. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That is very true. Well, on that note, let's wrap up the Eric one. It was a lot to listen to. It always is. I mean, you know, they make some good points to start off with, and there's some good information in there. But I would say mostly Eric seemed pretty riled up and pretty pissed off, if you ask me.
Look, and to give credit to Eric, now that I see that you want to finish talking about him. He's a physicist, right?
No, so I think he's a mathematician, but he knows physics as well, I think.
Okay. When he has this theory of his, he has it actually on paper. So he goes with this paper to other peers of his that recognize, yeah, bro, you got it. Like, you got a good theory here. But it's just another theory. There's a bunch of guys that they have theories. And I had the sensation that Eric has this affinity about himself to compare himself with Einstein. Did you observe that?
Yeah, he did do that. Which is a little arrogant, right? I mean, a little bit. I mean, he kind of referenced Isaac Newton, and then Einstein built on Isaac Newton's theory, and then Eric built on Einstein's. And that's a ballsy move. I mean, you're definitely putting yourself in kind of high esteem when you make those types of statements.
In my book, he became a whackpacker. Are you familiar with whackpackers?
I could imagine what it means. I could imagine. Bit of a wacko.
Whackpacker is a term invented by Howard Stern, the broadcaster.
Yep.
On his Howard Stern show, he has a bunch of repeated guests that they all have some kind of defect, and they are called whackpackers.
Okay, so you think
one
you think
it can be a midget, one can have a little bit of exactly.
I got you. Yeah, I'm.
So
he did sound a little on the wacky side. Talking about wackier things and the more relaxed, free flowing, fun podcast for the week. So listen, guys, if you've had a stressful week and you don't want to hear too much about coronavirus and you just want to laugh and relax, then the only Rogan one I recommend for you would be the Greg Fitzsimmons. Because he's one of Joe's oldest friends in the comedy world. Very funny guy. Always great. Genuinely a nice guy, too. He has what seems like a heart of gold. And he's absolutely hilarious and always a great guest. And they get into some funny things. I mean, they start off with talking about animals and animal attacks. And It was good. What was your feel for the Greg Fitzsimmons podcast, George?
I have never listened to his Fitz Dog radio podcast, and he hosts another podcast called Childish with Allison Rosen. I never listened to this. I just wanted to give this info, but dude, I love the guy. He was great. I have my notes here. Yeah, they will keep going about Joe's chickens and the coyote attacks.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, crazy, right? I mean, those coyotes are vicious. So all of Joe's chickens finally got jacked by coyotes. They all got eaten. And I think Joe's moved now up into, not the Hollywood Hills, but some other hills. He's on like a private estate where like Shaq lives or something. So he moved into a giant house that kind of looks like Tony Stark's place. And I'm a fan of Rogan, but I didn't stalk him for that. There was like a news article I read that showed the house before it got sold, and it's sick. But I guess he didn't get any more chickens. He's done with the chicken life. But yeah, they were all killed by coyotes that managed to trick his dog into opening up the cages and just got in there and ate them all. I mean, they're killing machines.
He had another dog besides his main dog. What's his main dog?
Marshall.
The Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall is the golden retriever, right?
Yes.
And yeah, he had a mastiff that I think is now dead, big dog, and that one kind of broke down the chicken coop and let the coyotes in, and then jacked them all.
Pretty much.
Vicious. Vicious stuff. You got to watch out. There's a lot of coyotes around here, though, honestly. You know, you don't see them in the city, obviously, but in the hills around, for sure, they're everywhere. It's unbelievable. And
in 2010, I was living on Hollywood and Fairfax. You know what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
In a house there with my wife and my kid. She was like 4 years old at that time. When I was coming home, bro, in the evening, there were coyotes in front of my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Oh, nothing. It's just my wife. She was like turning the lights, beep, beep, and running with the car. But not much.
They're bigger than you think. They kind of look like German shepherds almost, like scraggy, scruffy German shepherds. Maybe they don't. Maybe
you know what? When you see them at night, it gives you a feeling of like wildness, like, fuck, where am I at?
Yeah.
You know, just like coyotes around the, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be camping if there was like a pack of coyotes. I think they would jack you up pretty good.
I'm not sure because I'm not, I wouldn't venture.
Yeah, I'm not messing with them. You can. I don't live with those theories like, yeah, I'd be able to take on a wild cat. It's like, forget that. Are you kidding me? Have you ever held like a house cat that was really pissed off at you? He scratched the shit out of you. You even triple the size of that thing, and we're still talking like a small, like a cat the size of like a average sized dog. I wouldn't want to mess with that thing. That thing would be a nightmare.
But with coyotes, Adam, in all honesty, if they're hungry and if they're in a pack and if you're by yourself, there are some circumstances for this type of animal to attack you.
Yeah, you'd be
fucked. I would say more to be afraid more of these wild cats, dude, that they are in the hills. Yeah. If one of those attacks you, that could be a problem.
Done, yeah. Mountain lion will 100% kill you 100% of the time, I would say.
Repeatedly on Joe Rogan podcast, he comes up with this lion that is wandering through Hollywood Hills. He keeps telling Jamie, pull up a picture. Let's show the people the lion.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great picture, too. Have you ever seen it? Right in front of the Hollywood sign. Yeah. It's really impressive. It's crazy to think that they're up there. I mean, we're talking like, what, like 3 miles from where I am? 4 or 5 miles? I'm not even sure. Like, there's fucking mountain lions. It's nuts. It's nuts to think of that. And you never see them. It's like, wow. No. Unbelievable. Like ghosts. Just crazy. So Greg's talking about, he gets into talking about not working, right? So he's a comedian. He obviously tours a lot. He has his podcast, but most of his money is made touring, doing comedy. So he's not traveling right now, and he's not making any money doing comedy. And he thought that he would be far more worried about life as a whole, and getting bored at home and all the rest of it than he is. He's actually really enjoying it. He's connecting to his family. He's spending time with them. He's not necessarily missing being on the road. He feels healthier. I think that's an important takeaway overall for me from this whole thing that we're all going through, is like, it's almost like time to slow down that we never had before. We never had this time to slow down. And that's kind of a beautiful thing. I mean, on top of all the tragedy, it's quite nice. I don't know. I just, it seems.
He said that.
Yeah.
He said that towards the I think the middle of the show. He was mentioning, man, I'm so happy to have you, Greg, here on the show. And man, to have you. And I had, what is this guy's name? The mafia guy.
What?
He started mentioning Andrew Santino.
Joey Diaz?
Red Band, Callan Diaz. That's what I was looking for. Mm. I forgot his name. Joey Diaz.
The mafia guy? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So he had all these guys now like like a machine gun. Because, you know, on Joe Rogan, you have scientists, sometimes you have, like, a politician. But now he had a bunch of his friends now with the coronavirus.
Yeah, tight friends, good group, all at home doing nothing. It's interesting, for sure. All right, let's move on, and we'll wrap up a little bit with the Brian Redband pod. That one was from last week. And what did you get? What was your takeaway? And why don't you take the reins on this and talk a little bit about the Red Band episode?
On Red Band,
now obviously, man, Red Band,
the VR thing. Go that's on. It. I have a bunch of notes here. Like, they were talking about the patient zero where the coronavirus started. Mm-hmm. They said it was a woman. Not selling bats, but she was selling something else.
Lizards.
Near the person who was selling bats. And somehow, she was the patient zero. So I thought that was one takeaway. Then Snoop Doggy Dogg smoking with Willie Nelson. I remember Joe on this podcast, he was really, really high. Like, he was smoking because of the coronavirus just by himself, a whole joint.
That's great.
He mentioned it, actually. He said, hey, what I like about this, I don't have to share my joint with anybody.
It's a smart move.
I don't know if you remember.
Smart move, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was so high. Don't be sharing joints right now, people.
When he came about... Red Band asked Joe, hey, which one do you think is gonna win, Willie Nelson or Snoop Doggy Dogg on smoking weed?
Oh, Snoop, no doubt.
Yeah. Get but he gave it to Willie. I think Joe gave it to Willie.
Wrong.
First, just to be polite.
Yeah, diplomatic. No chance. You can't out smoke Snoop Dogg. I wouldn't even attempt it. I think you just stand next to Snoop Dogg and you get high. That's how high he is.
I think that was the conclusion, the final conclusion, that Snoop would win.
Yeah, that's good. I always like Red Band being on. Obviously, Red Band basically started the podcast with Joe and slowly moved away from it because he got more technical and Red Band's busy with his own stuff. He's doing the Death Squad shit that he just kills it at. With Kill Tony, which is awesome. And, you know, they brought Jamie in because Jamie's more formally trained and he's done a great job. But you've got to give it to Red Band because none of this would have even started without him coming in and really helping Joe with the idea. And even I think Red Band even brought up the idea and said, hey, we should do this. We should start this. And Yeah, I always take my hat off to that guy.
I understand Red Band was working for Stanhope at some point. He did the project for Stanhope. That's how he met Joe.
Yeah, up in Ohio, I believe. Then,
yeah, and then Joe hired him and he moved out here. So I really think Joe always knew what he wanted to do. He was just waiting for the technology to take off.
Yeah, there's a good
but
chance.
But he chose to grow with the technology. Like, he started with that stupidity, Ustream. There were, like, some stupid streaming websites until YouTube actually came along and, you know, put the show to where it belongs.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's come a long way. And, you know, if this is the end of times, then Red Band being on, it's like the beginning of the podcast and the end of the world. So bring him on for that. And he's always great. Well, I think that's...
He's great. Actually, at the end of the podcast, he was keep mentioning the, oh, man, I'm broadcasting from VR. I said, what the hell is he talking about? Ah, and then I remember, dude, because I was at a friend of mine, and there is one VR headset that is independent of the computer. Do you know how you had that Oculus thing?
Yeah.
That you have to connect it to a computer, uh-huh. And you have to have a powerful video card to run it?
Yep.
Well, now they released one that is called Oculus Quest, that you just put it on the on your head, and is powered by an Android device.
That's pretty sweet.
So you just need Wi-Fi, and you're on.
Nice.
So he's broadcasting and playing games on his channel, Brian Redband. It's a gaming channel with that thing. And I actually went and I looked. I didn't have much time because I wanted to be ready for this show. And I was getting ready for the show, listening to all the podcasts that I could listen. And yeah.
I know, I want to check those out. I've never used those before, but I would love to. They sound really freaking cool. I'd probably get super addicted to it, though.
I played with it at a friend of mine. I'm sorry I didn't finish the idea. It's because of the weed. Sometimes weed creates short memory loss.
Doing great, George. Crushing it.
So, yeah, man. I put that thing on my head, and there is a game. You can be James Bond. So you like... shooting, dude. Boom, boom, boom. I think if you go on my Facebook page, I'm gonna actually send you this video, and you can see me shooting, you know, and you can broadcast what you see, but in 2D.
Nice.
But what I'm trying to tell you, when you see it in 3D, if you remember on the show, you remember when Joe he was really high and he was keep having these theories, hey man, would be so nice to rent, like, because he was complaining the VR games are too short, to make it like, oh man, to go in there like for like four or five hours and with four or five friends, and all of us rent it and we will see, wow, it will be so cool, and people to somehow to come and see what we see, you know what I mean?
It'd be sweet.
But it's difficult.
It would be sweet. Well, there we go. We're at like 50 minutes. And that covers the week. So I want to thank you, George, for joining me today.
Oh, you wanna you don't wanna run it more?
Do you?
You have a limit?
Sure. What else you got?
On Brian Redband? Oh, bunch, dude. First, about the what do you think about the line at the gun shops?
Well, I mean, people are paranoid, right? They're fucking paranoid, and they're worried about the end of the world, so they're getting loads of guns. I mean, it makes sense.
But that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's an overreaction. I don't think anyone's going to be necessarily going to be shooting each other. But this is America. You know, people like to be armed. They like to be ready. You know, it's all about kicking ass.
So what did you think about Joe's scenario when he said, oh man, so let's say something's gonna happen and I don't know what the fuck, apocalypse, okay, short story.
Yep.
And then it's him, Joe Rogan, and just few neighbors, like maybe 5-6 neighbors, and no contact. And they don't have enough guns. He has only like 2 guns. That was his scenario.
Yeah, well, that's more realistic. I mean, I don't think any of the scenarios are really good. Joe even used to have a bit in one of his stand-up specials where he would talk about what would happen. Like, he's basically talking about how dumb we all are and what would happen if the power went out. It's like, how long would you sit in your house with the power out before you go out onto the street and meet up with your neighbors and try and figure out what the hell's going on? But none of your neighbors are going to be able to get the power back on. So it's similar to that. Like, Joe's already ran that scenario through his comedy. And that's why he's very interesting and a smart dude, because even though that's funny, it's like, it's true. What the hell would you do? If the power went out right now, I would sit here in the dark until it came back on. I would have no fucking idea what to do. I'd be like, all right, I just sit here then. Or go for a walk. I mean...
Exactly.
It's like we'd be useless.
What I found whacked out about his scenario is... we don't have enough guns, quote. Like, okay, so you run out of power. So let's say I'm coming because I'm lost. I lost power too. I don't know where to go. I'm looking for some government agency, for some cops. I can't find anybody, right?
Right.
And I'm walking in and I'm finding like Joe Rogan, who maybe smokes some indica and he thinks I'm an intruder or something. I say, hold on, bro, with the guns, because I'm not here to attack anybody. You know what I'm saying? In my scenario, I'm the one who gets scared of some guys with guns because the power went out. I mean, what's with the guns? Just relax for a second. You know what I'm saying? That's my take.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. But, you know, not everyone thinks that way, so they want to be armed. And, hopefully people don't start shooting each other. Hopefully we keep calm long enough and the government comes through with their relief checks and the coronavirus unemployment for those that aren't working, and that there's some sort of smoothing out of the fear. I don't think... Look, people know that this is terrible and it is a strange time, but most of my day I spend just kind of reaching out to people, friends, or taking phone calls or doing Zoom chats. Even back in England, I've got some friends in France too. I'll talk to them. Nobody seems super fearful and really panicky, you know, and people are starting to take it more seriously. So we're definitely not in the panic realm. And the hope is that the reason we have governments and trust them at all is when the shit really hits the fan, you know, they need to fix this. They're the ones that can do it. So we're hoping that they can do it, everyone stays calm enough, and we get through this sensibly instead of all losing our minds. I believe we can do it. I'm going to stay optimistic about that. What do you think, George?
You see, my check is coming every week. It was uninterrupted, so my opinion, it doesn't count much. Because I can see people not working. Like, I don't know how you make a living. Because, do you mind? How do you make a living?
Drug dealer.
Perfect. Then your business is growing.
Yeah, doing great. Loads of drugs. Yeah. No. I work in a bar restaurant, so I haven't been working.
That's what I mean.
And I have to wait for money.
So when the rent comes in, yeah.
You get depressed and you pay it. And then you hope you don't have to pay it next month. But a lot of people are going through this, so I don't worry about it. I mean, I'm not going to overly worry when there's how many other people, you know. I just check in with everyone and see if they're doing okay and, you know, record my silly podcast. So
what do you think on the Red Band show? They said how long is going to take this? He said 3 months.
Oh, what fuck that. We're not going to go. I don't think restaurants and bars are going to open this year. And I'm not trying to be, you know, pessimist about this. I think realistically, in the smartest way, they probably shouldn't. I mean, even if this curve, which it will finally get, you know, kind of curve over and slow down, as soon as they let everyone in the bars and the restaurants, they're going to reinfect each other. Like, we have to be very careful about the reintegration of people back into groups. I mean, it's one thing to put everybody back in their cubicles where they're all 6 feet apart and washing their hands and being careful. But then when you're in a restaurant and everyone's touching all the plates and the things and they're all next to each other, or at a bar where they're getting drunk, They're losing their inhibitions and hugging and forgetting what it's like to be properly quarantined. I mean, people are going to get reinfected, and it's going to, in a way, it could be worse, you know?
But don't forget the vaccine is coming in 1 year. It's going to be even faster,
maybe.
I hope.
Hopefully. I don't know. How do you know?
So, well, Johnson & Johnson is already fabricating the vaccines.
All right, if you
to
say
have
so.
It, to have it ready. Yeah, they have it. It's just, it's a matter of approval. Because it was mentioned actually on a show, if you vaccinate a million, you can kill a million people basically without proper tests. To go to the FDA approvals.
Okay.
It takes a very long time. That was the thing. Okay, when Trump first had all the oil company heads at the White House.
Yeah.
About a week ago, he had all the pharmaceutical company CEOs together, and he basically told them, look, all of you work together on this project with all of your technologies, all of your patents, everything. Put it together and find me the best, you know. And they were all pitching their interest. You see, this companies, they have so much money from drugs, right? Manufacturing. They're not interested in, they're interested in passing the FDA faster. That's the only thing that it keeps them growing.
Right.
And scaling. That's one thing of their business. They know that the business is working, the vaccine is working. Now we need scaling. So for something like this, they're asking Trump, saying, hey, we need your help, Mr. President. Thank you so much for this. We need to scale. That's exactly the quote of one of those guys. So yeah, so that's what I extracted. The vaccine is ready. It's just very hard to pass the legal system, which Trump is actually making it faster. That is good or bad? It can be bad, you know, because those rules are there in place for a reason.
We will find out. We will find out. Well, there we go, brother. On that note, that covers those.
That's it.
Those four.
That's it. You got bored?
No. I mean, that's enough. That's enough.
I have more.
It's all right. I think we've covered enough. The red band one was last week, so most people have skipped. You know, they've covered that almost anyway. And they're very similar. I love him to death. I do, but they those guys, when they get on, they do just kind of get high and then cover a lot of the same things. But it's always entertaining, you know? I mean, again,
yeah,
if you want a light, relaxing, chilled podcast, then Red Band's one is great. Any of the ones from last week, because they were all comedians there, chilled. And then the Greg Fitzsimmons is the same thing in a way. It's what we needed. Last week was what we needed, and Joe did a great job with that. So anyway, I want to ask you
really quick about Brian Callen.
Go ahead.
Did you watch the Brian Callen one?
I did not. No.
Oh, okay. Then maybe next time.
Next time, man, Brian will be on again. Don't worry. Hey, George, I want to thank you for joining in and say thanks to all the listeners.
Thank you, Adam, for having me on a show. Thank you to all your listeners, and I hope you're going to have me again. This was a pleasure. I was a little bit excited, maybe overexcited.
Did great, bro.
At some point.
Did great.
But it was fantastic, and I can't wait for another opportunity, if I may.
Love it. All right. Thanks, guys. Take it easy. Cheers.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.